Vayhi ish echad min haramasayim tsofim mehar Ephraim ushmo Elkanah ben Yerocham ben Elihu ben Tohu ben Suf Ephrasi. So there was an ish echad. Rashi comments as an introduction to the sefer that the sefer starts with telling us about Eli and about the birth of Shmuel. Eli and Shmuel are going to be the ends of the Shoftim. Right? Sefer Shoftim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael after Yoshua were the Shoftim. The Shoftim were political and religious leaders. They would, spiritual leaders. They would often come, all of a sudden emerge to save the Jews from their enemies, to inspire them. And Sefer Shoftim is all about the different Shoftim. After the Shoftim is the period of the Malachim, of the kings. Shmuel is going to anoint the first king, and that's Shaul. And then he's going to anoint David. And that's going to be the beginning of Malachim. So the Sefer before Sefer Shmuel is called Sefer Shoftim. The Sefer after Sefer Shmuel is called Sefer Malachim. Sefer Shmuel is the bridge between the two. And Shmuel himself is the bridge between the two. He's the last of the Shoftim, and he's the one who anoints the first Melech. So we begin here hearing about Elkanah. Elkanah was the father of Shmuel. The Targum, if you look at the Targum, he writes that Ramasayim Tsofim, which Rashi says is a place. So the Targum quotes from Chazal that it's a reference to being a Navi. A Tsofeh is someone who can see, like Harat Tsofim. And to see, someone who can, the Navi in those days was called a Roeh, because he had the ability to see into the future. Or see what was behind the scenes, even though you couldn't see it yourself, the average person. So Elkanah was a Navi. V'lo shtei nashim, shem achaschana v'shem ashenes penina, v'hile penina yiladim, v'chana ein yiladim. So he had two wives, Chana and Penina. Penina had lots of children, and Chana was not blessed with children. Which right away starts to paint her as a imohos type figure, right? We know a lot of the imohos were not able to have children. And she's going to be the mother of Shmuel. So we're going to see Shmuel in a certain sense, like the Avos, a tremendous leader. And we know from Davening, we say, we compare Moshe Aaron and Shmuel. We say it in Kabbalah Shabbos. Shmuel is one of the greatest figures ever. Now, obviously, I could say that about a lot of people in Tanakh. But even amongst great people, Shmuel is considered particularly great. So yearly or regularly, Elkanah would travel in order to daven and to Hashem in Shiloh. Shiloh was where the Mishkan was at this time. Very quick introduction. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu built a Mishkan in the desert. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, so they set up a Bama Gedola, Mizbeach, in Gilgal. But the Aaron, Abris, went with them out into battle. There was a discussion, there's one Aaron, two Aaron. But then they set up a Mishkan in Shiloh. And the Mishkan in Shiloh has a status regarding many things, has the status of Beis HaMikdash. For instance, Bikurim, I believe, were brought to Shiloh, just like they brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Meiser Sheni needs to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would bring it to Shiloh. Kol Zman that Shiloh was standing, you couldn't bring private karbanos outside of Shiloh. It's what we call Heter Bamos. There was no Heter Bamos. After Shiloh was destroyed, until the Beis HaMikdash was built, so then you could bring private karbanos. Shiloh was destroyed. After Shiloh was destroyed, until the Beis HaMikdash was built, so they were able to bring karbanos on a Bamas Yachid, on a private altar. But Kol Zman that Shiloh existed, that's why they couldn't. That's why the Torah, when it refers to Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't call it Yerushalayim. It says, the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, L'shaken Shemo Sham. Why does it say the Makom Asher Yivchar? Because it wants to be vague, purposely, because it's not only Yerushalayim. It also includes Mishkan Shiloh. So, he would come up to Mishkan Shiloh. Maybe there's a din of Alil Regel to Mishkan Shiloh. He's coming up regularly. Now, Pasha's here, he's not coming up necessarily for the Regalim, although some of the Mefarshim suggest that, but, I believe, but he's coming for a visit, like you go to the Kotel, so he's going to Shiloh to daven. V'sham shnei v'nei Eli chafni v'pinchas kohanim l'Hashem. And Eli, who was the elderly Kohen Gadol at the time,
So his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, are the Kohanim at that time. So he would bring a carbon and he would give to Penina, his wife, and all of her children, portions to eat from the carbon. Ulechana, but for Chana, she didn't have any children. So yitein mana achas apayim, he would give her a double portion, either a double portion or a really, really nice portion. Ki eschana ohev Hashem sagar rachma, because he loved her and he felt bad that she didn't have any children. Penina's family was getting, you know, a whole shipment of food, and Chana, you know, would get like one hamburger. He would feel bad, so he would give her a double burger. Love deal, right? He felt bad. He would give her something. He loved her. V'chastat sarasa gam kas ba'avur harima ki sagar Hashem ba'ad rachma. So the Navi tells us that Penina used, right, that's a tzara, is the other wife. Penina used to anger Chana. She would do things that would get her upset. Rashi says that she would taunt her and say, I have like a hand-me-down coat for like a four-year-old. Do you need one? Oh, right, you don't have any children. She would say like really cruel things to Chana, ba'avur harima, which Rashi says means to upset her. To upset her, but that she would call out in pain.
Did they bring it down that she was doing that? She thought she was doing something right.
Excellent. So Rashi then brings a second pshat. And Rashi's second pshat is that she would say things like this in order, ba'avor har'ima, doesn't mean that she should cry out in pain, that she should cry out in prayer. She would purposely say mean things so that Chana would respond with broken tfilos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a broken heart, and she would be zocha then to children. And Gemara tells us that Penina and the Satan, when he dealt with Eov, but Penina was acting l'shem shamayim. She wasn't cruel. She's Penina. She was doing it in order to get Chana to daven better, in order to help Chana. Now it's interesting, that pshat, because we're going to read soon that Penina gets punished. And her children start dying. Well, Elena. So if she was doing it l'shem shamayim, why was she getting punished? So Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musar has a scary yesod. He says that when it comes to mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro and issues of ben adam l'chaveiro, even if you have good kavanos, if at the end of the day you hurt someone's feelings, you're going to get punished for that. I didn't mean it. I was just making a joke. I was just trying to get him in to be one of the crowd. But you embarrassed him, you're going to get punished. Even if you didn't have bad kavanos, even if you had good kavanos. And Chaim Shmulevitz says that's the pshat. That's why Penina, even though she had kavanos tovot, she had good kavanos. But she gets punished because at the end of the day, Chana was hurt. And if you hurt someone, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, it's about the result. If someone gets hurt, you're going to be punished for that. And that's a scary thing to think. Normally we say, listen, I had good, my intentions were good. But if you hurt someone's feelings, you got to deal with it. And you got to make it better.
It also be like the Mitzvah, kind of like Shem Tolom, you know, like I say, the Jews, because they took it too far. So like, she had good intentions, but like, she took it.
Okay, so there we have to have There we have to take a question of, did they have good intentions? And if the Mitzrim would have enslaved the Jews in order to fulfill the Kiyum of Hashem, it would have been a whole different discussion. They happened to have been fulfilling the prophecy of Hashem, but they were doing it because they hated the Jews. But I understand how you're comparing it, though. Right, someone else can do it. Right. Pasuk Zayin. V'chein yasa shana b'shana midei al oso b'beis Hashem. And this happened regularly. They would go up, there would be this drama, and Chana would cry, and she wouldn't eat. So Elkanah turns to Chana, and he says, I understand, why are you so upset about? Why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? You know, aren't I better than 10 sons? Like, you have me. I'm your husband, I love you. And he's clearly trying to help her, you know, just make peace with the situation, like she's not having a kid. But Chana, what has she respond? Vatokam Chana acharei achla b'shilo v'acharei shaso. After she eats and drinks, and I thought she wasn't eating and drinking, so maybe it means after the time of eating, of drinking. V'eli akohen yosheva al kisei al mezuzasei chal Hashem, and she approaches Eli, who's in the Mishkan. So she's going to now daven. And the Malbim points out, why all of a sudden, Vatokam Chana? What's the connection here? Elkanah says, why are you so upset? You know, we have a good life, Baruch Hashem, focus on all the good. And she gets up and she goes to daven. The Malbim says that she realized, Imen ani li mili. Meaning up until now, she thought Elkanah was davening for her to have a child. Now that Elkanah is coming and saying, like, listen, this is the reality, and let's focus on the good, she realizes, Imen ani li mili. If I'm not going to daven for myself, who will? My husband's given up. So she gets up and she realizes that she needs to daven for herself. Atakam chana, and she gets up. Ahimaras nefesh. Now she is broken. All a mother wants is to have a child. And she is broken that she can't have a child. Vatis palel el Hashemu b'chol tifked. She cries and she davens. Now we all know that chana is the symbol of tefillah. We're going to see in a second. She's the one who's mechadeshet, this idea of davening quietly. But tefillah's chana. Chana is known as the our aim of tefillah. So here you see that the yisod of tefillah, real tefillah, is when it comes from a place of feeling absolutely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She's broken. And this is the paradigm of tefillah. To daven to Hashem from a place of realizing that you have no other... Your husband's not going to help you. Eli, the Kohen, is not going to help you. You can only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's real tefillah. That's why it's so hard for us to relate to tefillah. Because we say, oh, you know, my job, my boss, and all the other sources of income that we have. Oh, the doctors are really great. I don't need Hashem. I have my doctor. It's only when a person really feels dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can daven. Vatidor neder vatomer Hashem tzvakos imra'ot tireh bo'ani amosecha. So she takes a neder and she says, listen, Hashem tzvakos, which is, by the way, the first time that we find someone referring to Hashem as Hashem tzvakos. Sometimes the Navi earlier refers to Hashem as Hashem tzvakos. But the first time we find a person referring to Hashem that way. And Rashi says that's because she has like a claim. Like, I don't understand, Hashem. You are king over this whole... Tzvakos is like a large group, an army. A large group. You're Hashem, your creator. You rule over Elyonim, Tachtonim, millions of things. You can't find room for me, little me, to have one little baby? Like, you're so powerful. Can't you do this for me? So easy for you. Vatidor neder, and so she takes a neder, and she says, Imra'o tireh bo'ani, if you see my suffering, bo'ani amasecha, uzchartani v'los tishkachas amasecha, and you remember me, you don't forget me, v'nasat al amasecha zera anashim, and you give me a child, and the Chazal have a discussion, what zera anashim means. Does that dafka mean tzadikim, as Rashi quotes? Others say that, no, it just means any child. Like, I don't care. I just an average child. I just want a child. Unisativ l'Hashem kol yimei chayav. I will dedicate him to Hashem for his whole life. He'll be a nazir. He'll be totally dedicated to Hashem. Not necessarily a dafka, a nazir, but he'll be totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umore lo yala al rosho. And I won't cut his hair like a nazir. Umore lo yala al rosho. So she starts davening, and Eli is sitting there, and he sees her davening. Eli is the Kohen Gadol. He's in Mishkan Shiloh, and he sees her lips. She's clearly talking to herself. Her lips are moving. But her voice cannot be heard. So Eli thinks that she's drunk. Apparently back then, the way people daven, they would yell in tefillah. They would scream. And she is very calm, moving her lips, but no sound. V'yomer ela, Eli, ad mosai tashtakrin. How long are you going to keep drinking for? He says to her. Like, what are you, some type of drunkard? He says to her. Hasirius yeinech me'olayich. Stop drinking. Get rid of this wine. V'atan chana v'tomer lo adoni. Isha kshas ruach anochi. I'm not drunk. I'm just a very broken woman. V'yayin b'shechar lo shasisi. I'm not, I didn't drink anything. V'eshpochas nafshi lifnei Hashem. I'm spilling out my soul to God. And I think there's like an imagery here of like what real tefillah is. She's saying like, you know why I'm not screaming? Because I'm not doing some just like superficial acts. The reason you don't hear my voice, but my lips are moving, but you don't hear anything, is because it's going on deep inside. This is real prayer. I'm pouring my guts out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's internal, It's really painful and it's really internal. Now, the Gemara says in Brachos that the reason why she justifies herself is because you have to. If someone accuses you of something and it's not what you're doing, it's not a maila to just say like, all right, I won't say anything. Yeah, you have to clear yourself. You have to say, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not drinking. Don't look at me this way, and don't think that I'm like a person who would come drunk. No, it's from pain, and it's because of what Penina's done to me, and it's because of the whole story. I have a lot of reason to be sitting here and to be davening. Vayan Eli v'omer l'chila shalom. So Eli says to her, go in peace. Velokei Yisrael yitena she'laseich asher sha'alt me'imo. Right? This is a popular song now. But the Eli says back to her, and it's a tefillah or it's a nevuah that your she'laseich, what you request, a son, it will be given. What you're asking, asher sha'alt me'imo, what you're asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to get it. The Gemara from Brachos learns from here that if you're choshed b'ksherim, tzarech levarcho. If you're choshed b'ksherim, if you suspect someone of something that they didn't really do, they're ksherim, they're kosher, and you're choshed them, so you have to give them a bracha. Right? That's why, like, every once in a while, I'll make a joke. If I, like, say someone did something and they didn't do it, I'll, like, put my hands on their head, like, kilo, like I'm giving a bracha. Someone who's choshed b'ksherim, chayev levarcho. Batomer timtzas shifchas. So sure enough, this is what happened. She says, look, I found chen in your eyes, and I'm going to get answered. She had bitachon. She had faith. That's pasuk yud chesh. She had faith in what Eli told her. And they went back home, and Vayeda Elkanah Eschana Ishto, and Hashem remembered, and she conceived the child. Vahila Tkufas Hayamim, Vatar Chana Vatelet Ben. So she was Zocha to have a child. Vatikra Shemo Shmuel, Kime Hashem Shaltiv. And she says, she named him Shmuel. Two possibilities of why he's named that. Either that it came from God, like Mekel, came from Hashem, so it's or not really that it came from, but it's Shaul Me'el. Shmuel is a contraction of two words that he's like lent to God because she promised that she would give him to God, so he's going to be lent to God, or it's some type of lashon of Kimei Hashem She'altiv, I asked for him and I got him. So like the word She'ela is in there. Shmuel. Vayana ish Elkanah v'chol beiso lizboch l'Hashem ezevach hayamim ves nidro. V'chana lo also. So now Elkanah is going back up to back to Shiloh. You know, he has his regular, he took a ned there, he took his regular things that he committed to bring in the Mishkan, but she doesn't go. Ki amro li shadi gamel anarviv Yosef. I'll bring him, but I first want to finish nursing him and getting him ready, and then I'll bring him. And then once I bring him there, that's it. He's staying there. Because I dedicated him to Hashem. Do what you feel is best. So wait here until you wean him. So he gives her his blessing. And that's what she does. So she brings him eventually, she weans him, finishes nursing him, she brings him up to the Mishkan in Shiloh, brings a carbon, which means, and he was still very young. She brought him there, he was very young, like really a child. But yet she didn't say, like, no, I'm going to wait until he's older. I want to, you know, him to grow up in the house. You know, when he's 15, when he's 18, I'll bring him. No, he was a young child. So they brought him to Eli in order to learn by Eli. Rashi quotes here, Chazal talk about a whole discussion in Halacha that they had. But the simple pshat is that he was brought there in order to, the Radak says, she should be mecharech him in Torah and in Yerushalayim. Vatomer bi Adoni chenav shecha Adoni ani aisha nitzeves imchem bazeh l'spala l'Hashem. She says to Eli, I don't know if you remember, but we had a whole story here. I was here and I was broken and you thought I was drunk and you gave me a bracha. El hanar hazeh hit palalti. This is the kid that I was davening for. Vayiten Hashem li ashei lasi asher sha'alti meimo. This is the song. And Hashem gave me what I requested, the request that I had. V'gam anochi yishaltiu l'Hashem, and therefore, in response to him answering my question, there's like play on words here, in response to him answering my she'ela, I'm going to be shoel him, I'm going to lend him to Hashem. Kol hayamim asher haya hu sha'ul Hashem. He is dedicated to Hashem. V'yishtachavu sham l'Hashem. And she bowed down, and they bowed down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.